This is Jay Sekulow. The president demands $5 billion for the border wall.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Days after U.S. agents fired tear gas on some of the migrants who tried to enter the country illegally, many now feeling less hopeful about gaining asylum here, even looking at staying in Mexico. This as we learn more about the makeup inside that caravan. Department of Homeland Security saying it's mostly men, with many not eligible for asylum.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We took this caravan very serious from day one. It's like no caravan we've ever seen before. You've heard reports that caravans happen all the time. That's true, but not caravans that have a propensity for this type of violence and not these massive numbers of people.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. The president has proposed a $5 billion allocation for the border security fence, the border wall, as it's called, on our southern border. Now, that would be $5 billion. The whole project's $25 billion. Now, I want you to understand what that represents, because I asked our professor of law and economics, Professor Harry Hutchinson, to take a look at what those numbers really mean. So, you know, would we spend $5 billion for enhanced security on our southern border? And at the same time, by the way, my position, our position at the ACLJ has been, we think that there should be a comprehensive immigration reform proposal put forward that should include DACA as becoming permanent. There should also be, in our view, there should be a pathway to citizenship. It could take a number of years, as it did for my grandfather, 14 in his case. But there should be a – we're not going to self-deport 12 million people. That's up to 18 or 20 now, I think, is what the real number is. So might as well get them taxpaying citizens of the United States, ultimately. So ultimately a pathway to citizenship, but also border security. So people are saying, well, it costs $25 billion. The president wants $5 billion allocated now. You want to know what that represents? I'm going to go to Harry Hutchinson. Of our total budget for the United States, first let's start with the $5 billion.
A $5 billion expenditure equals less than 0.1% of the entire federal budget of $4.4 trillion. Indeed, if you fund the entire wall, which cost approximately $25 billion, that equals less than 0.5% of the federal budget in 2019.
And if you did the whole $25 billion expenditure, let's say this year you said next year $25 billion.
It would be 0.5% of the entire federal budget in 1 year. So we're having this debate over a minuscule amount of money, and the wall is necessary for national security purposes. And if you couple the wall, funding the wall, with a complete immigration reform, I think that's a win-win for all Americans, whether they're Republican, Democrat, or independent.
Yep, Jordan.
This does not take away a single dime then from any existing federal program. So if you're on the left, you can't make that argument, not honestly at least. They may try to make it dishonestly by talking about, oh, $5 billion, what we could do with $5 billion. But as Harry said, $5 billion is 0.1% of this year's budget. The whole package, $25 billion, build the entire wall, allocate it for this year. It's just 0.5% of the entire budget for this year, which is over $4 trillion. You could have the money set aside to build the entire wall. That is not going to affect a single government program that the left likes or that those on the right like.
Right.
So it's not going to affect the VA. It's not going to affect funding for the Department of Defense or Homeland Security. It is a minuscule amount. This is playing politics with our border security.
So, Than, here's the question. You were at the meetings yesterday. Is there a chance, and maybe none, maybe the small one, of any of this getting through? Is there a way to compromise here so that we could see something like this take place?
Well, there should be, but if you look at last year, Jay, President Trump offered the Democrats what they've always said they wanted, that they want DACA participants able to stay in the country. He offered not only that, Jay, but that anybody who was DACA eligible would have a pathway to citizenship, but he wasn't going to give them that unless he could secure the border. Jay, Democrats walked away just a few months ago, so we will see. But guess what? If they don't make a deal, guess who's responsible for funding the government come January? Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. That might be their incentive, Jay, to make a deal.
I think we move this forward. We want to know what you have to say about all this. Are you in favor of this $5 billion expenditure? What do you think about DACA and pathway to citizenship? I'm sure it'll be controversial. We'll take your calls when we come back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledged to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So President Trump has said he wants $5 billion for the border wall. Harry Hutchinson already described that that represents, what was the number? The $5 billion represent what percentage of our overall
less
budget?
Less than one-tenth of 1% of the $4.4 trillion federal budget for 2019, and 0.5%. If you fund the entire wall, which is $25 billion, that would still be less than one-half of 1% of the federal budget for a single year.
My view is this. I mean, this is the view that we articulate the American Center for Law and Justice. And I'm going to play something for you, actually. When President Obama tried to change DACA by the stroke of a pen, I was in favor of DACA being codified, but as law through the legal process, through the House and Senate. And that's the way this should move forward. But here's what I said. So I'm on record on this. Here's what I said back in that hearing.
The president has stated that he changed the law. And I don't believe there's anyone on this committee that believes the president has the authority to change the law. And I believe in significant and complete immigration reform. I believe in a pathway to citizenship. But I believe to do that through the legal process set forth in the Constitution. And the president doesn't get to change the law. He actually said that, though, that he changed the law.
So this was when President Obama tried, with the stroke of a pen, through an executive order, change the DACA rules. Now, I said I'm in favor of DACA. I'm in favor of a pathway to citizenship. I mean, there's a process you have to go through for a pathway to citizenship, obviously. It's not amnesty. Not just we wave our hand, you're here and you're in. But there's a process that goes forward. And I want the border security, which I think we're seeing the evident need for that right now. To me, that's not a I would think that would be – now, it's been offered – parts of this have come under previous administrations with no success. Part of this, President Trump offered last year, and the Democrats said no. But I think the politics on this do not bode well for them to keep saying no, because you can't ignore what's going on the border.
No, especially after this week when we saw the violence erupt, the numbers, as Christine Nielsen, who is the Secretary of Homeland Security, said, the violence, she put this nine-point plan out yesterday, but she said the violence we saw at the border was entirely predictable. So if the wall was there, this would have protected, made it unnecessary to use force, like non-lethal force, like whether it's the rubber bullets or the canisters of tear gas, and having our injuries on our side with border security and border patrol. You wouldn't need the U.S. military down there backing up Customs and Border Patrol. This caravan, unlike previous, had already entered Mexico violently. Remember, we talked about that. They pushed through the Mexican authorities. They attacked border police in two other countries. And again, the caravan, this is point two, is far larger and more organized than previous. There are 8,500 members just in Tijuana and Mexicali. That is a two-hour drive apart. 6,000 of those are in Tijuana. 2,500 are in Mexicali. This is causing serious trouble. If there was a time to use a half percent of our budget and just fund the whole thing, 0.5%, $25 billion, this is the time, because we're causing unnecessary violence.
Yes.
And confrontation between our security officials, Border Patrol officials, and these migrants who have women and children involved within them, though it's mostly has been pointed out as men, who are basically those who did have good asylum claims are losing them by the minute by this violence, because once you engage in violence, you no longer have a claim for asylum.
So we've got the situation on the border, Harry, right now. We've got a proposal that we think is the right one, which is border security with the fence and the wall and the enhanced security that it would take. Some of it would be through technology, obviously. Then you have the situation where we've taken the position that we're in favor of DACA being codified and continue and get the DACA matter resolved and a pathway to citizenship for the 12 or 18 million people that are here that did not come in through a legal process. But it's not going to be a wave of the hand. It's not going to be amnesty, but it'd be over a period of time. I think that is a really good policy.
Absolutely. And I doubt seriously that any reasonable American would disagree with you. And that.
We'll find out. Thing, but go ahead.
But I think the facts on the ground right now in Tijuana and on the U.S. border near San Diego suggest an absolute need for border security. Why? Because an overwhelming majority of the migrants are adult males who are not eligible for asylum. They've engaged in predictable violence. DHS Secretary Nielsen has pointed out that at least 600 members of this group have been identified as criminals. Yeah. So why do we want to welcome these individuals into our country?
You would not.
Clearly, we are facing essentially an invasion of individuals who are not necessarily welcome or eligible for asylum in the United States. We need to secure the border, but we also need comprehensive immigration reform.
We're going to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. I want to ask this. Would you be willing to partially shut down the government? We'll explain that if the president doesn't get at least $5 billion to build this wall. I want your comments on it. 1-800-684-3110. A partial shutdown of the federal government if the president does not get the $5 billion to build the wall.
And I'd also like to know, are you willing to go with a pathway to citizenship and a DACA as if you got the wall security? Because that's the political reality of that, what might take place here. So we want your opinions on all that at 800-684-3110.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones.
Robert's calling in from Maryland online too. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, hi, Jordan. Hi, Jay. I wanted to ask the both of you, what do you think is the likelihood that President Trump is going to be able to receive the $5 billion in order to build the border wall down on the southern border with the enhanced fence security as well as the technology, given, you know, the atmosphere in the country, particularly considering the caravan? A couple of comments before you answer that, though. Yep. I haven't thought through the issue of some of the things that you said as far as codifying DACA. I'm not saying whether that's a good or a bad idea. But also, I think you got to definitely have border security. Yep. And in addition to the border security, we have to emphasize, Jay, for the ones that have come to the country illegally, not the DACA, the Deferred Action Childhood Arrivals, but the adults, they've got to pay a fine, back taxes, they've got to learn English, they've got to go through a criminal background check, they've also got to be screened for health issues as well, in order for them to become citizens or receive a green card.
I'm with you 100%. That's why I said, like, my grandfather took 14. I don't think these people aren't going to get this in a year.
It takes years. With criminal backgrounds.
Yes.
DACA, I think, also, you can get creative by saying this is a one-time DACA.
Right.
Not a DACA forever. Like,
right.
If you do, because that means people continue to bring their minors.
But those that are here.
So it's a DACA for those that are here.
Right.
And they've always, all those plans have always put time frames around it, so you had to arrive by then and be this age by then. So it's limited in scope. Both DACA and also what a pathway to citizenship means is also limited. A lot of people will not qualify because the people you don't want qualifying won't. Or people with arrest records, people who have broken other laws other than being here illegally.
So Robert asked, though, the threshold question is, what's the chance of the president getting the $5 billion allocation for the wall this year. What is your sense? You were in meetings all day yesterday. What did you pick up?
Well, it's always been an ask that Democrats in Congress have pushed back against. But here's why I think the president has a chance this time around, Jay. It's because we're not looking at a total government shutdown if the funding isn't reached. Much of the government has already been funded, Jay. Five specific bills, five of the 12 have passed. And I want our listeners to understand what those bills are. The Department of Defense, Jay, it's fully funded for next year. Military construction, fully funded next year. Veterans Affairs, fully funded next year. Ledge Branch, Energy and Water, the Department of Labor, Health and Human Services and the Department of Education, Jay, they're all already fully funded. So you do have seven appropriations bills that are not yet funded. The most significant of them are the ones that fund the Department of State and the Department of Homeland Security. The Department of Homeland Security is where the funding for border security comes. But, Jay, I think the president is right to ask, if the Department of Homeland Security does not have the funding to do its primary job, which is securing the border, then why are we that worried about a partial shutdown of that agency? Jay, that dynamic, as well as the Democrats taking over control of the House in January, I think it's an opportunity that might be unique to previous ones, and I think the president's got a shot here.
I think this is going to be high-stakes negotiation between now and December 7th. That's the deadline date. So you're in that, I mean, what are we basically, 10 days out? I mean, 12 days out? We'll get the exact day count. But I think the solution here is DACA for those that are here. I think also a pathway to citizenship under all the caveats we gave you, and then border security. And my friends that are left of center and my friends that are right of center should be able to come to agreement on that. I think that solves, I think, you know, Harry, if we look at just from a policy standpoint, you're our director of policy, it just makes sense. Because there's no self-deporting 20 million people. That's never going to happen.
Absolutely. So despite the fact that it makes sense, clearly individuals are driven, many of them in Congress, by pure politics. So I hope the American people will get involved and place pressure on legislators to move forward a comprehensive immigration reform proposal and secure the border and protect national security.
All right, folks, we will continue to take your phone calls and your comments. We come back from the break, 1-800-684-3110. On Facebook, Rose writes in, as a person who lives close to the border in Arizona, my family would love to have the wall. Folks, we have a matching challenge right now. Whatever you're able to support the ACLJ with, your financial support is matched. It's doubled. That's at ACLJ.org. Double your support for the American Center for Law and Justice. That's at ACLJ.org. We come back, more of your phone calls, more of our commentary, more news, more information on border security.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. You had some questions come in during the break, or we're using some acronyms here, and so we don't always discuss. We're on an immigration-only show. So yesterday we talked more about what was actually happening in our southern border. Today we're talking about some of the fixes and what's going on in Capitol Hill, the budget, border wall, and we're using terminology that you may have kind of forgotten what the acronyms mean, or just need kind of a just to kind of go back through those once again. And Joyce on Facebook wrote in, what does it mean by DACA? What do we keep saying DACA? This is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It's a program put in by executive order by President Obama. It's still in place. It's still being litigated in the courts about whether or not the president has the power to do this. Can you cut off the program? And courts keep going back and forth on this. What we are saying is, if you got the $25 billion for the border wall and you built the wall, that DACA could be part of that deal. DACA is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. That means your parents violated the law by bringing you to the United States, but you were a minor when you were brought to the United States. So basically, this is the only country you know. It's where you've lived. It's where you've gone to school. Even within the DACA proposals themselves, it says you can't have returned for periods of time to, for instance, Mexico. You can't have – this has to be like your home country, and you were brought here again, unintentionally, you could have made that decision. You're brought here as a child. So that's what DACA means. If you have questions about that, because we're using acronyms, we haven't used it in a while, get them in through Facebook, through Periscope, or give us a call at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, because we do these terms when it's in the news. We're kind of putting this in our broadcast because we think this is the way to move this forward globally, to get, if you want, a kind of a global resolution to this. We'll see. But let's go right back to the phones, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Mike in Oregon on line 5. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Mike.
Hi. I just have a simple question. How come, well, not how come, maybe Trump needs to go for the whole $25 billion and immigration reform along with DACA, and see what he can get, because I'm not sure how much he's going to get going forward after January, since the Democrats are going to be in the House and they're going to start other things.
Yeah, so let me ask that to Than. So Than, because we talked about this before we went on air, what are the chances of now versus January, and how do you see the timing playing out?
Well, as far as the $25 billion, Jay, I mean, the construction of the wall is expected to take about 5 years. So the $5 billion for the next fiscal year, which is the only portion of that period that this bill would cover, is $5 billion. So if he gets $5 billion for fiscal year 19, I would tell Mike that really is the first installment of the full $25 billion. Now, the question about the politics, Jay, this is a really interesting one, because the Democrats have already walked away from an offer from President Trump to give them what they wanted on DACA and then plenty more. He offered to give a path way to anybody who is DACA eligible, not just DACA participants. Democrats didn't want to do that. But what changes here, Jay, is in January, this border crisis, this funding of Department of Homeland Security and the DACA problem, that becomes the Democrats' problems in the House of Representatives. Probably Speaker Nancy Pelosi will know that tomorrow. It becomes her problem. So, Jay, on the politics, even though she walked away from it just last year, she might be wanting to get it off of her plate now. We're just going to have to see in the next 10 days.
I'm going to ask Harry that. I mean, do you think politically, if you were advising the Democrats, would you say get this over with?
Absolutely, because I think this would be an accomplishment. This would be a bipartisan achievement. And I think down the road, it might even help the Democrats. But there are many Democrats who are more focused on investigations than accomplishment. And so I think she has some difficulty within her caucus in negotiating a pathway forward on immigration reform and securing the border.
What do you think, Jordan, from you've been involved in the political side for a long time? I mean, if you were them, would you try to get something done this year so that you don't carry it into next year?
Well, listen, if you are them, so you're the Democrats, all you have is the House, and then you're going to run against the president. You could run, technically, if you got comprehensive immigration reform plus DACA, so a pathway to citizenship for those here plus DACA. In exchange, you built a wall that appears necessary now. So you take those issues off the table. You take the wall off the table for Republicans, no longer a rallying point. You have an immigration victory because you were in the House of Representatives and saying we put this together, final moments. they will never be able to do this when they're the majority. And I'll explain why. There are no way House Democrats, the majority, are going to fund the wall. They can't because of their liberal base. There won't be enough votes there. So the only way they could get this kind of victory on immigration to use into 2020 would be to do it now while they're still technically the minority party. And I see no way at getting at this fix with these 2 years that at least 2 years that Democrats maintain control of the House. And again, we saw how difficult it was to do when Republicans, this is like the healthcare issue, when Republicans had control of both the House and the Senate, as they still do as of this moment.
So I guess
at this moment, Republicans can technically do what they want if they could come together.
Yeah. But you got to get to 60 in the Senate.
You do, but I think that's the victory I'm talking about, is you could get the victory now and take the wall off the table for Trump in 2020. He can't campaign on that.
Yeah, so that's the politics.
And they can campaign on getting comprehensive immigration.
Let's try to get one more column before the end of the first half hour here.
All right, let's go to Francois in California, online 6. Francois, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
I'm foreign, as you can hear by my accent. I'm a resident now. My wife's from LA, and you know, as a probably a semi outsider, I traveled around the world for a couple of years, actually quite a lot to the States as well, in and out. And I just, you know, I think the whole idea of people that are against building a wall is kind of ridiculous. Every single country I've been to has a border. A country is defined by its borders. You know, that's my first gripe for the whole situation. I think it's quite ridiculous.
I think, Francois, what we're seeing play out right now is that you have this, you know, situation at the wall. And I think so far there's been major confrontation has been avoided, but you know, you don't know how that's going to play out.
Right on the line of something very bad happening, which changes everything. So someone getting killed, basically. And you could get killed by a tear gas canister. You don't have to have bullets fired. This is reminds me of those kind of protesters that protest in Israel on the Gaza border, on the border with the West Bank,
or the World Trade Organization, World Bank protesting.
Yes,
in Washington.
But those are not children and women.
No, right.
And the women that are involved are professional protesters. Let me put it this way: so you're not getting caught up by people who are there legitimately, or at least for good reasons. They think. As many have said now, that they believe that this this violence has now caused them to believe that they have no shot at getting into the U.S. That's what some of the reporters have picked up from a lot of the media, is that because of the violence, because of the way that many of these caravanners have conducted themselves, they will not have an opportunity to make their asylum claim or to get to the U.S. So maybe they're learning through this process that violence is not a good way to go when you're trying to get into a new country.
All right, we're here for another half hour. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, just go over to Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. You can get it there. Also, if you want to give us your calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments in through Facebook and Periscope. Our team, social media team, is monitoring those as well. Let me also encourage you here that it's important for us at the ACLJ, as we close this month out, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. So that's ACLJ.org. Back with more, including your phone calls, at 800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We took this caravan very serious from day one. It's like no caravan we've ever seen before. You've heard reports that caravans happen all the time. That's true, but not caravans that have a propensity for this type of violence and not these massive numbers of people.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. So the president has asked for $5 billion for border security. We've advocated at the American Center for Law and Justice that we should have that border security, border wall security, but also we believe in comprehensive immigration reform, including pathway to citizenship, and also DACA for those that are here should be put in place so you're not at the whim of a changing political factions. I think that would be the way in which to move this in a constructive way. But let me tell you something about this $5 billion. They're making a big deal. $5 billion, $25 billion to build the entire infrastructure for the wall. So I had our director of policy, who's also a professor of law and economics, Professor Harry Hutchinson, do a little analysis here. So Professor Hutchinson, we said that at the beginning of the broadcast, I want to do it again for those joining us now for this half hour. Let's start with the $5 billion. $5 billion represents one of our annual budget.
Approximately 0.1% of the federal budget in 2019 of $4.4 trillion. Indeed, if you funded the entire wall, that's $25 billion, that would amount to a roughly 0.5% of the federal budget in 2019. This is a minuscule amount. This is an accounting error, and yet we are fighting tooth and nail over a proposal that makes all of the sense in the world. We cannot allow individuals simply to storm our borders and demand entry. It's very possible that a significant percentage of these individuals are not even eligible for asylum.
Yep.
And so we must manage our borders and protect our sovereignty. It makes all of the sense in the world, except in the realm of pure politics.
Yeah, I think that, listen, I mean, the truth is we need to secure our border. I mean, that it is, we now have the evidence for it. The budget issue, I mean, like we had a person write it, could we find this in our budget already? Isn't there already something there? I mean, this is what Joseph said. Is there a way to find this money already in appropriated funds, perhaps something in the defense budget? It's interesting because what would not be affected by this potential shutdown next week, I think, needs to be laid out for everybody. The Defense Department has already been fully funded for the next fiscal year. The Labor, HHS, and Education Departments already funded. Energy, water funded. Legislative branch funded. All military construction, all veterans affairs funded. Before December 7th, agriculture, financial services, interior, transportation, and HUD will be funded. So it really comes down to Justice Department, DHS, and State Department. And again, non-essential. So you're talking about not the top diplomats, not the top foreign policymakers, not the Secretary of State and their security staff. That's what you're talking about is, again, non-essential Justice Department, non-essential DHS, non-essential State, if you were to do a shutdown. Now, shutdowns are always dangerous.
Yep, politically.
Now, politically, this is not an election. We're very far away from the election now. It's 2020, so it's not going to have an impact on the next election cycle.
Yeah.
But it can. It doesn't always get you what you want.
Yeah. So, Than, let's look at where we are and where we're going. So the date is December. Why is that date December 7th? What's the process, and what are we actually negotiating?
Yeah, December 7th is when the agencies that Jordan did not mention, when they run out of money, they would technically go into a partial shutdown. So by December 7th is when you need to reach an agreement either to extend that deadline or to fund the entire next fiscal year. And Jay, you need two things. You need the amount. We've been talking about $5 billion per year. But then to the question that Jordan was just talking about, you also need the authority to use it for specific purposes. In this case, border security and erecting a physical barrier. So you need the amount and you need the authority to use. And to the economic point, Jay, if the president has to shut the border down altogether, which he might have to do because his obligation to secure the border remains, even if it's not funded, the economic impact of that will overwhelm the $5 billion in a matter of days.
Yeah, do you hear what Than just said? So the $5 billion number, which sounds like a lot of money in our overall budget, is not. And the economic impact of having to go through this process could be greater. There's a lot to digest here. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at aclj.org. Back with more in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls. A couple lines have opened up because we've continued to take calls throughout the broadcast today. I haven't waited to take them until a final segment. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Are you willing to partially shut down the government to get funding for the border wall? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Listen to this. MSNBC reporter Gaddy Schwartz talking about what it has been like to be amongst those who have been part of this caravan who have arrived at the U.S. border. Take a listen and remind yourself this is coming from an MSNBC reporter, Byte 8.
From what we've seen, the majority are actually men, and some of these men have not articulated that need for asylum. Instead, they have talked about, you know, going to the United States for a better life and to find work.
Yeah, and again, I mean, I'm sure some of them are there for good reasons in the sense that they would like to better their family's economic standing. It's just not a reason for asylum. You don't get asylum if your life's not in danger. An actual real-time threat because of spelled out reasons like your nationality, your religion, something about you specifically. Sometimes it's gang targeting that has been used on asylum. And you've got to spell it out. You've got to have information, documents. A lot of times you also have to have people who will vouch for you. So basically witnesses that you are not safe in your home country because of that. So none of that, as you can make clear, includes I'd like to make more money. That is just not the case. It is some of those may be very sincere. They want to help their families. They're in tough, difficult financial situations. Everybody can understand that. It's not a reason for asylum. It's a reason you can apply to become a citizen and go through the long process of bettering your family that way, but it's not a way to get asylum. Now, I like the fact that MSNBC is also honest, one, that they don't have any asylum claim, and two, that we're talking about mostly men, because that includes then the idea of, oh, this is lots of women and children and families, and it also explains the violence a bit more. Again, we're going to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. I do want to remind you, today is called Giving Tuesday. After all, we've had with Black Fridays, Cyber Mondays, and all the spending deals that are offered to you for the holidays. On Giving Tuesday, lots of organizations do a push for you to give back. Of course, the ACLJ, we have a matching challenge right now. So if you want to utilize Giving Tuesday, if you're someone who takes part in that, this is a great time to donate to the ACLJ, because not only is it Giving Tuesday, your donation will be doubled. And what that means is if you donate $10, you'll be charged $10 to your credit card. But
yeah,
someone else,
get confused about that.
Yeah, that's all you'll get charged. But then someone else is going to match that. We've got that person ready to match your $10. So we have those donors in place who are going to say, you know what? If John out there donates $10, I will match his $10. So you will only be charged $10. If you donate $20, you're charged $20. We will be matched another $20. So we will effectively receive $40. It's a great time. It's Giving Tuesday to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice and our matching challenge at ACLJ.org.
Let's go right back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, Nick is calling in from Minnesota online too. Nick, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Nick.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. My point was that I think that you would find hundreds of thousands of Americans that would reach into their own pockets and help to fund the wall to build, you know, to have the security that this country needs.
Well, you are reaching into your pocket because these are taxpayer dollars. So I don't think you have to reach in more, but yeah, go ahead and finish your thought. But I appreciate what you're saying. But is this a top issue for you, Nick?
It is.
So how do you feel about the political reality of negotiating? Because that's what this is. Negotiating, including in that the possibility of the DACA situation and a pathway to citizenship if you get the wall security.
I think that the people that are here, that have been here, but, you know, the DACA recipients, I think that they should stay. You know, I support immigration, and I support legal immigration, but I don't support illegal immigration, and I think that the security of this country is the most important thing.
So then I take that from what Nick's saying, Than, that we need to communicate this to our elected officials.
Yeah, I think this is where we
talked about that, and the reason I asked Nick this, we talked about on air before. We wanted to know what our reaction of our members would be and our people that listen to this broadcast would be to a comprehensive immigration reform, pathway to citizenship, DACA, and the border security. Because I think that there may be an opportunity for that.
Which means full funding for the wall.
Which means full funding for the wall. Go ahead, Than.
I just really think this is where the American people writ large are moving, Jay, because there has always been this narrative that building the wall is about keeping people out. And that is just not accurate, Jay. Building the wall is about two things. It's about national security, making sure we know who is coming across our border. And here's the piece that the caller was just alluding to that I think people are starting to grasp. Having control of your border, Jay, is also about making it easier for people who are seeking a better life to come here legally. If you have a grasp on all of the illegal crossings that are taking place, and all of the people that are trying to cross illegally to harm our country, you are then enabled to provide more opportunity for people who want to come to this country legally for a better life. So it's not about keeping people out. It's about securing the border and providing a path for those who are trying to come legally. Jay, I think that's where the American people are moving.
Harry, from a policy standpoint, then we'll go right back to the phones at 800-684-3110. We've been advocating this for years.
Absolutely. So we have consistently supported the rule of law. There is a statutory authority granted to the president to deal with emergencies. But what we are talking about is a long-term fix to the problem, which includes securing the border first and providing a comprehensive immigration reform proposal that the American people, by and large, will indeed support. And one of the things that we need to emphasize is that this is where the American people are, as opposed to our political leaders who are they're fractionated, to use a phrase, and they're focused on the next political advantage. Comprehensive immigration reform advances an American first agenda for all Americans, not just for the politicians.
All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and grab another call, Jordan.
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. Let's go to David in Virginia. I think it's a great question on line four. David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, David.
Hello, I'm a Trump supporter, and I was noticing that he ran on part maybe getting Mexico to pay for part of the wall, and just wondering, you know, what happened with that. Not something I've heard in the news lately.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's happened with it. The president renegotiated the whole NAFTA deal. And I think, Harry, that, you know, it changed the economic equation between the United States, Canada, and Mexico to a much more advantageous to the United States.
Absolutely. So if you look at the renegotiated NAFTA deal, effectively, over the long term, that will ensure that the Mexican economy grows, that the American economy grows, and that will help fund the wall. Keep in mind that the level of trade between the United States and Mexico is absolutely huge. It provides benefits to the United States, and it provides benefits to Mexico. And I think in the long run, if you look at all of the economic growth associated with it, Mexicans are indeed funding the wall, but it's indirect. It's not direct.
But that's where you go into, you start talking about closing down the having to close down the border. The economic impact of that is a lot more than $5 billion.
Oh, much more than that. I mean, when you have to close down the border, you're closing down the shipping lanes to the United States. And this is the goods and services that flow either from the U.S. to Mexico and from Mexico to the U.S. And so, again, this is part of the renegotiating the trade deal. Doesn't help much if you can't get the goods across and the goods come across through trucks. I mean, this is, again, some that are then loaded onto usually trains that go across all across the country. I mean, we're all impacted financially by our fiscal relationship and economic relationship with Mexico. So it'd be better to have a wall that ensures easy, probably very easy, transportation of goods and then of individuals who do have a lawful reason to be coming in or out of the United States and Mexico. So you'd be able to get across easily if so, because a wall would prevent the bad actors.
So, Than, let's talk about the political reality of where we are with the date of December 7th.
So on December 7th, there's going to be up to seven agencies that would potentially run out of money, Jay, and that's the deadline that we're talking about here. One of those agencies is the Department of Homeland Security, which is the entity that would fund the construction of the wall. So that's the bill in which this funding has to go through, and it's actually directly related to the point that you just made, Jay, because even if the president strikes a deal with Mexico that in essence shows that Mexico pays for the wall, Congress still has to appropriate those dollars through the appropriations process. That would be through the Department of Homeland Security appropriations bill. Jay, if they don't reach a deal by December 7th, some of these agencies would enter a partial shutdown. But the good news is Department of Defense, military construction, and a slew of others, about half the government, is already funded for all of next year. So there's not quite as much at stake in a shutdown as some in the media, I predict, will make you believe next week.
All right, we're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. So I encourage you to be ready for a call from us. We'll take your call, rather, and also get your comments on Facebook and Periscope. And don't forget, we are in a matching challenge campaign, and that's at aclj.org. It's Giving Tuesday. It's a big day. We encourage you, any amount you donate to us, we're going to get a matching gift from someone else for us, so that's really important. aclj.org. And if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more, including your calls and comments, coming up to the last segment of the broadcast in just a moment. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Last segment of the broadcast. We've got a lot of people on hold. We're going to try to go in the order that you called. Let's go right to it.
Yeah, this is just order of how long people have been holding on. So we'll go first to Tina in Texas on line one. Tina, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, guys. I have just an opinion here.
Okay.
Obviously, Mexico is not adequately staffed with their military and police. To handle this caravan, they couldn't keep it out. And, you know, it's bad for Mexico. It's bad for America. And I think that we need to work together and negotiate with Mexico to get American boots on the ground within Mexico to help them.
Yeah, I think that's I understand your concern, but you're impacting a sovereign nation. Here's what happened. The mayor of Tijuana has called on their federal government to get more help to the border. And I think that's the way you do it. I don't think that it's a good move, Harry, to bring U.S. troops into Mexico on this. I think that, A, you'd have to get the authority and approval of the Mexican government. It starts a whole, not only diplomatic row, but international law of armed conflict. I mean, it's much more difficult.
Absolutely. So I think bilateral negotiations are indeed necessary. And the United States and Mexico are indeed engaged in such negotiations. And so we might be able to help provide advice, for instance, in strengthening the border between Mexico and the rest of Central America. But I don't think American troops should cross the border into Mexico. That would leave the United States very vulnerable to all sorts of charges. And I think it would stir up the Mexican people against the United States. And right now, many Mexican people they disfavor the members of the caravan in part because they're wreaking havoc in Mexico.
Yes, and causing difficulty for, like, there are a lot of students in Tijuana that come to the United States and vice versa. And we have this, we've had this now renegotiated deal with the USMC with Mexico. That's good for both countries. And this was like the last thing they needed in that process was to have this kind of situation happen.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so Mexico, again, overrun at their border, at their southern border. They admit it, violently overrun at their southern border. They have not been able to. They're in a transition of power change, too, right now. Let's acknowledge that. So they're changing presidents and administrations.
We got Saturday.
So because of that, their military hasn't been mobilized on the border yet, either on their border. So things could change there. I don't not like the idea of sending a lot of U.S. troops and we said special forces, by the way. Special forces, Border Patrol agents, yes. I think that they're top level to work alongside other top level officials.
That's one thing, but to actually send boots on the ground.
Mexico doesn't want that. We don't need that because it's a very dangerous place for other reasons. For Mexico, for U.S. law.
Let's go. We're going to go right back to the phone. Let's go to line three.
Yeah, let's go to Brenda in Pennsylvania. Brenda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Brenda.
Hey, guys. Yep. You know, the bottom line is this. The Democrats want to see us just let these people pour in who are waving their own flags from their own countries, not American flags. And we don't know who's mixed up in that crowd, MS-13, Middle Eastern people, et cetera. We don't have enough funds to take care of our own veterans who are on the streets with mental health issues as a direct result from being in war, lost their families, their homes. Whatever the reason, become alcoholics because of all their mental health issues.
Well, look, Brenda, you raised the practicality. I'm going to go to Than on this on the political side because you raised the thing is there's all the we don't know who the people are in these things. And again, I'm not just casting dispersions about the whole group, but it doesn't take many to cause problems. And the Mexican authorities are already seeing that. But again, it calls for a political solution, which calls for political compromise. That is the art of politics. And my question is, with all this going on now, Than, isn't this the moment to try to seize that?
Well, I think you're right. It is, Jay. But I think the reason that Brenda and others are skeptical is because all along on the Democrat side, the ask has been we want the people that are DACA participants to be allowed to stay in the country if we're going to build the wall. Jay, they were not only offered that, but the president offered everybody who was DACA eligible would be able to stay. And they walked away from that. So I think it's very fair to ask the question, even as we see the crisis on the border, are Democrats in Congress willing to secure the border at any cost for any price? Jay, if they are willing, if there's any way that they're willing willing to make a deal. I think now is the opportunity for that. I do think there's a chance at it, Jay, but past actions are why Brenda's skeptical, and I think she has every right to be, because the president had really bent over backwards to provide them a deal, and last year they walked away from it.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110.
Yep.
Let's go to line five.
Yeah, Chris in Nevada on line five. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. It's hard to get too excited about the $5 billion, even if it's approved, because it won't solve the immediate problem.
Yep.
It'll still take a year to build the wall.
No, maybe more than that. But again, what we're trying to show here, Harry, is that the amount allocated for the wall, the total package of $25 billion is not, I mean, it sounds like a big number, but in the scope of our budget, it is insignificant.
Absolutely. So funding the entire wall would take up about one half of 1% of the entire budget for 2019. And so I think the caller is right. We have to look at this from a dual perspective. We have a short-term problem, and the Border Patrol is dealing responsibly with the individuals who are trying to invade our country right now. But this immediate problem points up a long-term policy problem, which is we need a wall because a physical barrier is helpful in keeping individuals out who, in many cases, or at least in some cases, actually want to come to the United States and perhaps cause harm. Secretary Nielsen has pointed out that at least 600 individuals in the migrant caravan are criminals. It's possible that there are Middle Eastern terrorists there. That's not the majority of the individuals. So it's a long-term problem, and we need a long-term solution, but we also need to deal with the short-term problem
as
well.
This is NBC's news correspondent. This is number eight on the soundbite here. This is how they describe what's actually in this caravan.
From what we've seen, the majority are actually men, and some of these men have not articulated that need for asylum. Instead, they have talked about, you know, going to the United States for a better life and to find work.
So this is what you have here. I mean, and there's a process for that too, but this isn't it. Storming the border is not that process. All right, we're going to try to grab one or two more calls here, Jordan. Let's try to grab one more.
Yeah, back to the phones. We go. We'll go by the order. So Jamie in Oklahoma online too.
Quickly, Jamie, go ahead. You're on.
Hello, gentlemen. Hey. I have kind of a twofold economic effect.
Well, I only got a minute and 30 seconds, so
okay,
quick, Jamie.
I'm going to talk fast.
Yep.
Okay, with the illegals coming in and the 12.5 that's been here and up to 22 million possibly, here they are making money, sending money back to their countries. That's the first effect. How does that affect our economy?
Let's give them a pathway to citizenship or a green or a work permit so we can get taxes like everybody else. That's how I think it impacts the economy. Go ahead with your second part.
The second part is, since before Reagan, from what I've been reading, the American people have spent $134 billion to cover the cost of 12.5 million illegal aliens.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And their
probably
children.
More than that.
So
probably more
now
than that.
We're looking at 22 million.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's why I think you got to have comprehensive
reform.
They
would be paying into the cost. See, they would be taxpayers. It'd be subject. They would not. You know,
coming out of the shadows, they can pay taxes.
Coming out of the shadows is key to this process and economically stabilizing our country.
All right. Well, that does it for the broadcast today. Don't forget, we are this is a big day for giving, online giving, ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org. And as we've said, any amount you donate to us, we get a matching gift for. So if you donate $50, someone else comes in and donates $50. So we effectively get $100. You can do that at ACLJ.org. That's the best way to do it. ACLJ.org to support the ongoing work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We certainly appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.